Picture this. You're sitting right seat on your last trip. A crossing you've flown 100 times. The airplane is doing what it always does. You're doing what you always do. But this time, when the wheels touch down, that's it. 40 years. Done. For most airline pilots, that day has a hard date attached to it. The Federal Aviation Administration requires commercial airline pilots to retire at age 65 under Part 121 regulations. It doesn't matter if you're flying better than you did at 40. The rule is the rule. And that rule means that if you started your career late or spent years in regional aviation building hours before the majors came calling, you might have fewer productive years at peak pay than you thought. AOPA published a piece this week worth your time. The headline is simple. Is your retirement plan built to last? Like a lot of things in aviation, the answer depends entirely on whether you've done the preflight. I'm Tower. This is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Before we get into it, a word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, back to that retirement question. The reason this topic resonates in this community is that pilots face a retirement planning landscape that looks different from almost any other profession. If you're using generic financial advice, the kind written for someone who works in an office and retires whenever they feel like it, you may be flying with outdated charts. Let's walk through what makes the math different for us. Start with mandatory retirement at 65. That's not a soft guideline. For Part 121 commercial operations, that's the wall. And here's the thing about walls. You don't want to hit one you weren't expecting. If you spent your 20s and 30s in the military before transitioning to the airlines, your commercial career window is shorter. That changes your accumulation timeline. It changes how aggressively you need to save. And it absolutely changes when you should be having serious conversations with a financial planner who understands what an aviation career actually looks like. Now factor in something that doesn't get talked about enough at the hangar, medical certificates. Not every retirement in aviation is voluntary. A significant number of pilots face the end of their flying career, not at 65, not on their own schedule, but the morning a flight physical turns up something unexpected, a cardiac finding, a medication interaction, a blood pressure reading that puts everything on hold. These things happen to healthy, fit, vigilant pilots who did everything right. And when they happen, the financial implications can be devastating if you weren't ready for them. Think of it this way. In aviation, we plan for the contingency before we need it. You don't declare an emergency and then pull out the checklist. You know where the nearest suitable airport is before the engine starts running rough. Your retirement plan needs that same contingency thinking built in from the start. What does that look like in practice? It means having a financial cushion that covers you if your medical goes away at 55 instead of 65. It means disability coverage specific to your occupation, not just a generic policy that only pays out if you can't work at anything at all. It means understanding that I can still work, just not fly, doesn't soften the income shock when aviation is all you've done. For pilots earlier in their careers, this is the argument for building financial independence faster than the comfortable math suggests. Put away more than you think you need to, because the one thing your retirement plan should never be is a plan that only works if everything goes right. Now let's talk about the income curve, because it's unlike most professions. Early career aviation pay is famously difficult. Regional pilots have seen real improvements in recent years, but the reality is that many pilots spend years building hours at pay that doesn't leave much room to save. The compounding effect of minimal contributions in your 20s and 30s is real. You cannot fully recover a decade of low savings just by maxing out contributions in your 50s. The time value of money is not a metaphor. A dollar saved at 25 is worth dramatically more at retirement than a dollar saved at 55. If you're a regional pilot thinking you'll start seriously saving once you upgrade or once you get to the majors, push that timeline up now. Every year matters more than you think it does. Let's talk about pensions, because the history here is worth knowing. Some airlines still offer defined benefit pension plans. That's real money. But during the wave of airline bankruptcies in the early 2000s, a number of carriers terminated their pension plans entirely. When that happens, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the federal agency that backstops failed pensions, steps in. But the corporation doesn't make you whole. There are caps on payouts, and for pilots who'd spent careers expecting a full pension, those limits meant a meaningful gap. The lesson isn't that you shouldn't count on your pension. The lesson is don't count exclusively on your pension. Single points of failure don't belong in your airplane, and they don't belong in your financial plan either. Most pilots today are looking at a combination of sources. Whatever pension exists, a 401k or 403b, an individual retirement account, and eventually Social Security. Understanding how these pieces interact is where things get complicated, and it's where professional guidance pays for itself. On the account types, there's a question worth thinking about: Roth or traditional? With a traditional 401k or IRA, you contribute pre-tax dollars and pay taxes when you withdraw in retirement. With a Roth, you pay taxes now, and withdrawals are tax-free later. For a pilot in the peak earning years at a major carrier, your tax bracket is likely high. That can make traditional pre-tax contributions attractive, now with the expectation that your tax rate drops in retirement. But if tax rates rise over the next few decades, a Roth looks better in hindsight. Most financial planners suggest having some of both. Tax diversification works the same way as investment diversification. Don't let everything depend on one assumption being right. Speaking of Social Security, the timing question matters more than most people realize. You can claim Social Security as early as 62, but you'll take a permanent reduction in your monthly benefit. Wait until your full retirement age, somewhere between 66 and 67, depending on when you were born, and you get the full benefit. Wait until 70, and you get the maximum. The longer you can wait, the better the monthly payout. Here's the pilot-specific angle. Many airline pilots retire at 65 with access to pension income and retirement savings. If those sources can cover your expenses for a few years without touching Social Security, the delay strategy can pay off significantly over a long retirement. But that strategy assumes your other savings can carry the gap without burning through principal at an unsustainable rate. There's a term in financial planning called sequence of returns risk. Here's what it means. If you retire into a strong market and earn good returns in your first few years, you're in a good position. If you retire into a major downturn and your portfolio drops 40% in year one while you're pulling income from it, the math turns against you in a way that's very hard to recover from. Sequence of returns is why the few years just before and just after retirement are the most financially fragile of your life. It's worth being more conservative in that window than your long-term average risk tolerance might suggest. One of the most overlooked landmines in early retirement is healthcare. Medicare eligibility begins at 65. If you retire from the airlines at 65, the timing works. But if you retire early because of a medical certificate issue, a furlough that became permanent, or your own decision, you've got a gap to cover. Healthcare coverage for a healthy 58-year-old can run several hundred dollars a month on the open market. For someone with any pre-existing conditions, more. This is not a small budget line. The COBRA continuation coverage from your employer plan typically runs 18 months after separation. After that, you're on the marketplace. Plan for it, budget for it explicitly. Don't discover it. Now, the segment of this audience I haven't addressed yet. The GA pilot, the career flight instructor, the Part 135 operator, the flying club owner. Your retirement picture is often even more complex. You probably don't have a pension. You may have had years of self-employment with no employer match on retirement contributions. Your income may have been variable across a long career. And you may have invested heavily in your own operation, whether that's an airplane, a school, a charter certificate, in ways that aren't easily liquidated. For this group, building retirement savings requires even more intentionality. A solo 401k, also called a solo K or individual 401k, allows self-employed pilots to contribute both as the employee and as the employer, with combined limits that can be substantial. A SEP IRA is another option with high contribution ceilings. These tools exist, using them consistently over a career, even in lower income years, makes a real difference. And for all of us, regardless of which side of the cockpit we've spent our careers in, beneficiary designations matter. This is one of the most overlooked areas of financial planning. Your 401k and IRA pass to whoever is named as beneficiary, regardless of what your will says. If you've gone through a divorce, a major life change, or simply haven't looked at those designations in a decade, check them. A quick review can prevent significant complications. So what does a well-built retirement plan actually look like? Use the flight plan analogy because it holds. You need a destination. What does retirement actually look like for you? Are you going to fly recreationally, travel, build a project plane? Those answers aren't equally expensive. What do you actually want to do with your time when the paycheck stops? That answer defines how much you need. You need enough fuel. That's your savings rate. Your investment strategy, your accumulated assets. Target replacing somewhere around 70 to 80% of your pre-retirement income, but calculate from your actual spending needs, not just a percentage of peak earnings. If your peak earnings were unusually high, that benchmark can mislead you. You need alternates. What's your plan if the market drops 40% the year you retire? What if healthcare costs double? What if a major airline pension gets restructured again? The pilots who navigate retirement well have thought through the contingencies, not just the blue sky scenario, and you need to keep scanning the instruments. Retirement planning is not a one-time pre-flight. Markets change, tax law changes, your health changes, your priorities change. Review your plan regularly with someone who understands where you've been and where you're headed. One more thing. For those planning to keep flying after retirement, whether instructing, flying Part 135, or just maintaining currency for the joy of it, factor it in. Some pilots offset retirement expenses meaningfully by instructing or flying part-time well into their 60s and beyond. That income can be a real buffer. But plan conservatively. Build a model that works if you stop flying entirely. Let additional flying income be the tailwind, not the engine. The AOPA piece is a good starting point. It won't write your financial plan for you, but it frames the question correctly. Your career has specific characteristics that require specific planning. Don't treat it the same as any other profession. Sources today are AOPA and financial planning frameworks developed for aviation professionals. More discussion at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Do the pre-flight before you need it.